We're Gonna Rattle This Ghost Town, written by Taveses and read by Breeze Koo. This is a hockey RPF with a rating of explicit and contains the pairing Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin. Summary. Tyler gets traded on July 4th. By July 10th, he's on a plane. The only things he takes from Boston are a hangover and a duffel bag. Or, Tyler learns to love hockey, again, Dallas and Jamie Benn. Not necessarily in that order. Tyler gets traded on July 4th. By July 10th, he's on a plane. The only things he takes from Boston are a hangover and a duffel bag. Dallas in July makes Tyler feel like he's dying. The asphalt on the roads is practically melting away, and he can see the waves of heat making the distance wobble. He finally understands why they talk about mirages in the desert. He spends the first 3 days hiding behind the air conditioning of his hotel room and watching his phone buzz. On the fourth day, he heads down to the Stars front office to sign some things, and he meets Jordy Benn. Jordy Benn is approximately 8 feet tall. Jordy Benn is terrifying. "Tyler," he says, pulling him into an oddly gentle hug that lasts longer than any bro hug should. Jordy Benn is apparently his new best friend. Tyler accidentally leaves with the numbers of the entire Dallas Stars roster and a time and place for a lunch date with Jordy and his brother. The place being their apartment, and the time being in 2 hours. Tyler doesn't understand anything. In the half an hour or so he was inside the office, he'd somehow forgotten just how hot it was outside. Boston had its moments of gross heat that made him feel like he's congealing inside, but Dallas makes him think of sand, and he feels like his lungs are shriveling as the hot air hits them. Tyler doesn't think he's going to survive Dallas. He really doesn't. Lunch is interesting. Tyler doesn't really have any other words for it. He shows up 10 minutes early, shifting from one foot to the other while he waits for someone to open the door. Jamie Benn is a surprise. Tyler and he had met briefly at the All-Star game, but he'd been almost painfully shy, hadn't spoken to anyone beyond his line mates, really, and so Tyler's a little taken aback when Jamie opens the door, huge grin on his face, falling over himself to invite Tyler in. Tyler toes his shoes off at the door and tucks his sunglasses into a pocket, padding through the apartment after Jamie. He follows him into a huge open-plan room with the kitchen at one end and the lounge at the other, separated by an island. Jordy looks up from where he's shredding lettuce and waves the chopping knife in greeting, grin almost as wide as Jamie's. Tyler wonders briefly whether everyone from BC is like this. Jamie's still talking as he wanders into the kitchen, steals a crescent of pepper from the chopping board while Jordy's back is turned, and offers Tyler a drink. "Anything, as long as it's cold," Tyler says, and Jamie laughs, tosses him a bottle of water. He cracks the cap and joins Jamie where he's perched at the island, attempting a second pepper theft. He isn't very successful and stops when he almost loses the end of his finger, Jordy slapping at him with the flat of the knife. "Behave, brat," Jordy says, mock glaring. Jamie just grins at him and turns to Tyler. "So, Tyler." Tyler suddenly feels like he's being interrogated. "How are you liking Dallas?" Tyler takes a long swallow of water, drags his hand through the condensation on the table. "It's, very hot," he says, honestly. Jamie laughs again, throwing his head back. Tyler looks down at his hands so he doesn't look at the long line of Jamie's throat. Eventually, Jordy distracts Jamie from question time by sliding a plate of food in front of him, a matching one in front of Tyler. He almost sounds apologetic when he says it's just a salad, but Tyler hasn't eaten anything that didn't need to be microwaved in the packaging in almost a week, and he can hear his nutritionist breathing a sigh of relief from all the way across the country. He takes a couple of bites, pauses, and inhales the rest. He realizes it might have been a while since the last time he ate something that wasn't coffee or Skittles. Jordy just laughs and points him toward the bowls of already sliced food on the table and pretends not to notice when Tyler steals all the olives. It becomes a thing before Tyler even really has a chance to realize. Tyler mostly liked to do his training on his own in Boston, but the Benns have a gym in their basement and he gets into the habit of jogging over early in the morning and working out with Jamie. Jordy, for all his enthusiasm at all other hours, is decidedly not a morning person and usually doesn't join them until they're finishing up and restacking the weights. Tyler follows Jamie back up to his apartment, Jamie still keeping up that steady stream of chatter about nothing in particular, and they steal the coffee Jordy had left brewing before showering and digging through the fridge for whatever leftovers they can justify calling breakfast. Jamie's argument that anything can be breakfast as long as you have it with eggs is both hilarious and endearing, but ultimately falls flat. Tyler usually ends up making eggs anyway, and Jamie sings while he's chopping mushrooms, and it's so natural to move around the Ben's kitchen, he almost forgets he doesn't actually live here. Tyler's been in Dallas for 3 weeks when he realizes that no one's called him Sakes since he left Boston. He wonders if this is what a fresh start feels like. He buys an apartment after a month and a half of the cramped hotel room. He misses leaving his shit everywhere without feeling guilty about someone picking up after him, and he misses Marshall, still back in Boston with Marshy. He doesn't mean to buy an apartment 3 floors down from Jamie and Jordy, but by the time he realizes, the estate agent is grinning at him helpfully and, well, it is a great apartment, already furnished, big enough for him to have buddies over, and they allow pets, which is all he's really interested in, so he signs the lease pretty much then and there. He invites Jamie and Jordy over for celebratory housewarming beers that aren't in their diet plan, and pizza that definitely isn't in their diet plan, even if they do load them up with veggies. "I promise not to tell if you don't," Jamie says, sprawled in one armchair, one leg hooked over the arm and his head tipped back. Tyler doesn't realize he hasn't touched his beer until Jordy gets up to pass him another one, and he says, "Nah, man, I'm good," and waves the almost full bottle at him. Neither of them comment on it, which Tyler is profoundly grateful for, and then Jamie announces that he might die unless he gets a milkshake from this great place downtown, so they order milkshakes, and when Tyler comes back from the bathroom, all the beers have vanished. He figures it's his turn not to comment that time. He flies out to Boston a couple of weeks before training camp starts, touches base with Marshy, says hey to Marshall, who slobbers on him and whines piteously when Tyler has to leave again. "Soon, buddy," he says, kissing the top of Marshall's head. "I promise I'll take you home soon." Marshy raises an eyebrow at him, and Tyler realizes he just called Dallas home. He doesn't say anything else, just looks at Marshy like he's waiting for judgment. Marshy pulls him into a rough hug, says, "We all miss you, kid," and punches him in the shoulder on the way out the door. Tyler calls a moving company while he's in the cab, and before he's even arrived at his old place, he's arranged time and place for all his shit to be flown out to Texas. He spends an unholy amount of time packing, throws out more than he keeps, and after a couple of days, the movers arrive and he only has 7 cardboard boxes and 2 suitcases, plus his duffel and all the things he'll need for Marshall. It feels more real this time on the way to the airport, Marshall licking his face in between pawing at the seats and tilting his head at the world outside. Tyler texts Jordy before he gets on the plane, just his flight info and arrival time, and gets an exclamation mark in return. The flight is awful. Tyler's never been a great flyer, spends all his time thinking about Marshall and his travelcade underneath them, and by the time he gets off the plane at Dallas-Fort Worth, he's tired and grumpy and more than a little stressed. He buries his face in Marshall's fur for a minute when he gets him back. Marshall has to stay on his leash in the airport, but as soon as he gets outside to where Jordy's waiting with his truck, Tyler lets him off, and he dances around Tyler's feet, runs back and forth, always stays within 10 feet of him. Jordy looks delighted when he takes Tyler's bags off of him and throws it in the back of the truck. "Who's this guy?" he asks, crouching down. Marshall takes this as an invitation to slobber all over his face. "Jordy Marshall, Marshall Jordy," Tyler introduces them, yawning halfway through. It wasn't a long flight, but traveling always knocks it out of him, something the guys in Boston used to chirp him for religiously. Jordy, though, he just picks Marshall up and deposits him in the truck and shoves Tyler after him gently. Tyler's asleep before they get back to the apartment building. The season arrives before Tyler even really notices. His days have narrowed down to training, skating, walking Marshall, eating every other meal sitting at the Ben's kitchen table, more training, sleeping, rinse and repeat, and when October 3rd rolls around, Tyler barely even registers it. He falls back into hockey with the same grace he fell into Dallas. They lose the first game of the season. No one is really surprised, not even Tyler. It takes him 3 games to notice that Jamie isn't just good at hockey. He's amazing. He might not have hands like Kaner, or the sheer goal-scoring talent of Ovechkin, or the frankly intimidating size of Z, but he takes the puck to the net and makes things happen with it, and Tyler can see why he was named captain. Tyler's first goal of the year is off an assist from Jamie, and vice versa, 4.5 minutes later. They bump heads and hug and get mashed into the glass by teammates, but Tyler gets caught up thinking about the way Jamie had just tipped the puck in the net like it was nothing. His second goal is off an assist by Jamie, too, and he feels kind of like this is how it's going to be in Dallas. People are making noise about the 1-2 punch of Ben and Sagan. It's been a long time since noise about Tyler was anything other than Tyler Sagan, problem kid. Dallas isn't Boston. That's all he keeps coming up with when the beat reporters ask him how he's enjoying playing with the new team, when they're not asking him about the circumstances surrounding his trade. He feels like they'll be asking him that for the rest of his career. So, Tyler, care to explain how you became such a monumental fuck-up in such a short space of time? Dallas only wins 5 of their first 12 games. Tyler was coming off the back of a mammoth season with Boston. They're a Stanley Cup contending team year in, year out. Dallas is going to have to claw its way to a wild card spot. It's an adjustment. Tyler thinks about everything he could say about how Dallas isn't Boston, and settles for saying how much he loves playing with Jamie, flushes when Jamie's face lights up across the room. Tyler isn't reading anything into that. He's not. They play Boston for the first time on November 5th. Tyler sleeps like shit the night before. It's the second of a 3-game road trip, and he's tired of breathing recycled air and letting Jordy kick the back of his seat for what seems like hours. He rooms with Pevs on the road, but usually spends most of his time helping Jordy bug Jamie, so when he dumps his bag in his room and drops face first onto his bed, making no move to abandon him, as is his wont, Pevs looks at him over the top of his book and looks like he wants to comment. Tyler says nothing and falls asleep like that. He sleeps for maybe an hour before he gets woken up by noise in the corridor, and he tosses and turns the rest of the night. At around 4 a.m., Pevs turns the light on, and they just sit and talk about everything but the game later that day. They fucking win! Boston does as Boston does, boos him any time he gets near the puck, but Jordy taps him on the head just before a face-off early in the first and tells him to keep his head up, kid. Jamie's goal is beautiful, carries them for the entire game pretty much, and Tyler doesn't get on the board in regulation, but he scores in the shootout and gets to watch Jamie smile wide at him, grabbing the collar of his jersey and pulling him into a hug on the bench. Tyler thinks briefly that he'd probably kill a man if it meant he could get Jamie to smile like that every day. Tyler is minding his own business in the Ben's kitchen, sipping on coffee and texting his sister, when Jordy drops down into the seat next to him, smiling in a highly suspicious way. Tyler lowers his coffee cup, puts his phone down, and narrows his eyes. What? He asks. Jordy just grins wider. Tyler, my man, he starts. Tonight, I'm going to teach you how to live. Oh, God. Jamie wanders out of the bathroom, toweling his hair. Awesome, he says. Where are we going? You're not invited, Jordy says, and proceeds to steal Tyler's coffee. Spoiler alert, Jordy does not teach Tyler how to live. He does pretty much save Tyler's life, but that's irrelevant. What is relevant is that Tyler's nose is no longer bleeding, and he doesn't even feel like he wants to throw up anymore. When he tells Jordy this, Jordy just laughs and keeps cleaning the dried blood off of Tyler's chin. You sure know how to show someone a good time, kid, Jordy says quietly. By some miracle, they manage to avoid waking Jamie, as they stumble in at what the fuck time is it o'clock, and neither of them wants to wake him up by shouting. Tyler pulls a face. It's not my fault people are dicks. He whines and flinches when Jordy moves on to the cut on the bridge of his nose. Did you have to try and punch the biggest guy in the room? Jordy asks, amends it to, fine, second biggest, when Tyler looks at him pointedly. Knew you'd have my back, just like Jamie. Tyler says, wrinkling his nose a little. Yeah, kid, I got your back. Don't think I didn't notice you avoiding the question, though. Did you pick a lot of fights in Boston, too? Tyler flinches at that, shoves Jordy's hands away. Jordy holds them up in surrender. Sorry, sore spot, I get it. Tyler relaxes, lets Jordy touch him again, one hand on his jaw, surprisingly gentle for such giant hands. Asshole called me a queer and a traitor to my team, Tyler says eventually. Jordy scowls. I should have known, really, Tyler continues. I saw the cab and thought maybe it would be good to talk to someone from... He pauses, stumbles over the word home, and goes for... Boston, ow! He hisses as Jordy drops his hand and picks up one of Tyler's, where the knuckles are scuffed and scraped. Then he started ragging on you guys, talking about how the Stars were a bunch of pussies, how I'd fit in better there than I ever had with the Bruins. Piss me off. There's something on Jordy's face that looks almost appreciative. Tyler drops his gaze and looks at his knuckles, flexes his hand slowly. I mean, call me a queer, fine, whatever. If it looks like a duck, etc., etc. But me being gay has nothing to do with you guys. Tyler's brain catches up with his mouth. Shit, He says, staring down at his hands. Geordi hasn't stopped moving, rubbing antiseptic cream into the cuts. He hasn't immediately yanked his hands away like Tyler's infectious, or flat out kicked him out, but Tyler really, really doesn't want to look at Geordi right now and see the way he's bound to look at him. Fuck, this is why Tyler doesn't drink anymore. He's too fucking chatty for his own good, and Geordi's always been happy to just listen to Tyler talk and talk until all this shit just falls out, apparently. Geordi says his name like a question, and Tyler realizes he hasn't moved since he stopped talking. Or breathed. Or blinked. He lets his eyes shut for a second before he breathes, low and deep, and looks up. Geordi's watching him like Tyler's going to bolt at any second. Sorry. Tyler doesn't really know what exactly he's apologizing for. Sorry for blurting it out like that. Sorry for saying it at all. Sorry for being gay. When Tyler was 15, he promised himself to never apologize for who he was. But sitting in the dim light of Geordi Ben's bathroom, with pink splatters in the sink, darker red spots on the floor, Tyler feels a long way from his 15-year-old self. I should go. He makes to get up, but Geordi's hand lands heavy on his shoulder. Tyler. No, it's okay. That was totally not buddies, and I should just go back to my own apartment? Tyler doesn't even really know what he's saying, and when Geordi moves his hand, he stands up. But Geordi stands with him, pulls him into a hug. Geordi hugs people a lot. Jamie always says that he loves hugs more than he loves hockey, and so Tyler's not a stranger to it, but he rests his head on Geordi's shoulder, just for a second, and breathes. I'm glad you told me, Geordi says, even if it was by accident. He lets Tyler go, and they're standing in the bathroom at 4 a.m., with Tyler's blood on the tips of Geordi's fingers, and staining the front of Tyler's shirt, and Tyler just starts laughing, because what else can he do? He ends up laughing so much he wakes Jamie up, who shuffles into the bathroom with his hair going every which way, squinting at the light. He looks horrified at the mess on Tyler's shirt, and Geordi has to reassure him 7 times that Tyler's fine, that he got into a fight for Geordi's honor, which is A, hilarious, and B, almost sort of true, but sounds so ridiculous that Jamie doesn't press for details, just digs a spare shirt out for Tyler to wear and makes them all breakfast, despite Geordi's repeated insistence that they all go to sleep. Tyler dozes off twice during breakfast, and eventually he convinces Jamie that he's fine, he just needs to sleep, waves off the offer to sleep on the couch, and Geordi walks him to the front door. I won't tell anyone, he says low, while Jamie clatters around with the breakfast dishes. Thanks, Geordi, Tyler says. You know, the team would be fine with it, Geordi continues, and Tyler pulls a face. Maybe when the shine on my nameplate isn't so blinding, he says, wry, and Geordi chuckles, claps him on the shoulder, and tells him to go the fuck to bed. Tyler wakes up at 6 p.m. and regrets everything. In hindsight, it takes Tyler an embarrassing amount of time to realize he's in love with Jamie. They're playing Calgary, and it's a fucking blowout. A 4-goal night for Tyler and his first hat trick in Victory Green, a 6-point night for Jamie, and when the horn sounds, it's 7-3 Dallas, and Jamie assisted on every single one of Tyler's goals. He's talking to the reporters afterwards, and they ask him about the secret to his sudden success in Dallas. Well, obviously you've got to look at Benny's night, Tyler says, watching Jamie's head turn at the sound of his name. He was making some incredible passes out there. Some of the plays I was just fortunate to finish them off. Jamie's smile is like the sunrise, and it hits Tyler like a cross-check to the gut. As with most things in Tyler's life, him becoming aware of the problem does not, in fact, solve said problem. He might even go so far as to say it makes everything worse, because now, when Jamie's wandering around the apartment in low-slung basketball shorts, and not a lot else, Tyler can't stop staring, and he's about 80% sure Geordi's caught him at least twice in the last week. Jamie's not built like a regular hockey player, all lean lines and 4% body fat. He's soft around the edges, and fuck, Tyler just wants to lick a pass down the slight curve of his stomach, bite at his inner thighs, and dig his fingers into Jamie's just barely there love handles. Tyler is so beyond fucked, it's not even funny. In December, Jamie gets in his second fight of the season, and Tyler doesn't really know what to do with himself. He's stuck between Doughty and another king, holding him back while Jamie fucking destroys Regaire, splits the skin above his eyebrow with one punch, and skates off, breathing heavy, murder in his eyes, blood on his hands. Tyler thanks God for loose-fitting hockey pants, and if he jerks off that night thinking about Jamie using those big hands to press bruises into his wrists and biceps, moaning loud and easy when he comes into his own fist, then there's no one to rat him out but Marshall, and he's not telling. Tyler spends Christmas in Dallas with Jamie and Geordi, because they only get 3 days off, and there's a practice the day before their next game anyway. It's optional, but Tyler's been here long enough that he knows optional practice is a myth when it comes to the Stars. They all skate or none of them skate. That's just how they work. Tyler guesses this is what brotherhood feels like. Jordy makes a truly obscene amount of food, spends all of Christmas Eve cooking while Tyler and Jamie heckle him from the sofa and occasionally wait until his back is turned to steal some, and Tyler's stomach hurts from laughing, and it's just nice in a way that he'd somehow forgotten about. Jamie goes to Sochi and Tyler goes to Mexico. They text each other dumb things for the entire 2 weeks, and Tyler watches every single Team Canada game, grins like an idiot when Jamie scores the game winner against the USA, and feels suddenly hilariously, irrationally jealous of his line mates crashing into him. He texts Kaner to distract himself, just a sorry buddy that he doesn't get a response to, and Tyler makes a mental note to call him when Kaner's back in the States. They win gold because of course they fucking do, and Tyler thinks about Jamie fucking him while he wears his gold medal, thinks about the feeling of the cool of the heavy metal on his back while Jamie bites at his shoulder blades. Tyler thinks he should be seriously ashamed of how often he ends up jerking off thinking about Jamie, but mostly when he has this thought, it's a brief moment when he's a few seconds away from arching his hips off the bed and coming with a strangled whine that he should probably be ashamed of, to be honest. And by the time he's come down from his post-orgasm high, he's not really thinking about much at all. Tyler goes with Jordy to pick the Olympians up from the airport. They pile out of security looking dead on their feet, but Jamie and Kari are wearing the medals, and as soon as Jamie spots Tyler, he lights up, wraps him in a hug, and ignores Jordy's chirping about how Tyler is way less important than your own brother. I am wounded, Jamie. Jamie smells like an airplane, all recycled air and over 24 hours of connected flights worth of travel. It's gross, but Tyler breathes him in anyway. Val and Jamie fall asleep on the way home, and Kari looks like he's not far behind, head listing against the window. Tyler and Jordy talk in low voices, and Tyler considers it a victory when he only glances at Jamie's slack face in the rearview mirror twice in the entire 40-minute trip. Jamie cries when they make the playoffs. Tyler hugs him so hard it starts to hurt, and his cheeks hurt from smiling. He and Jamie and Jordy get drunk that night in the Ben's apartment, just enough that they're loose and laughing. It's the first time Tyler's seen Jamie this drunk. He's giggly and seems even younger than Tyler. He's tactile, too, even more so than normal, constantly grabbing at Tyler, pulling him down onto his lap at least twice, and nuzzling his nose into Tyler's neck. Tyler looks helplessly at Jordy, who just laughs and leaves him to it, the traitor, tells him to behave and that he's going to bed. Jamie calls him an old man, and they hear him laugh all the way down to Tyler's front door. Tyler always prided himself on his alcohol tolerance, but he feels a little out of control right now. He can feel Jamie pressing up against him, and it's all too much. He scrambles out of Jamie's grip, just enough to put some distance between them. When he turns back, Jamie's eyes are soft and sad, and he looks hurt, and Tyler feels like the biggest asshole in the world. Jamie's lips are shiny with beer, and he's flushed, hair ungelled and damp and falling all over the place. He might be the most beautiful thing Tyler's ever seen. Tyler kisses him without meaning to, closes the gap he's just made, and plasters himself against Jamie. There's a horrible, awful pause for a couple of seconds, and then Jamie's hands slide up into Tyler's hair, and his lips part against Jamie's tongue. Jamie kisses like he plays hockey, aggressive and controlled and fucking beautiful. Tyler is so gone on him. They end up stretched out on the sofa in boxers, Jamie's weight pressing onto Tyler's chest while he bites at Tyler's lower lip until it's swollen, maybe a little bloody. "Fuck, Tyler," Jamie says, sucking at the juncture of his jaw. "I've wanted to do this since the first time I saw you play." He nips at the mark he's made with his teeth, and Tyler inhales sharply. "Jamie," he says, needy, and Jamie bites his way down Tyler's neck to his collarbone, worrying at the skin with his teeth. Tyler is almost incoherent with want, can feel Jamie's erection pressing into his hip, knows Jamie can probably feel his too, and he rolls his hips to watch the full body shudder running down Jamie's spine. They don't make it to the bedroom. Jamie jerks him off slow and unhurried, holding Tyler's hands above his head, both wrists locked into one of Jamie's hands while he curves long fingers around Tyler's dick and strokes him until his eyes are rolling back in his head. He comes with a shout, but Jamie smothers it with a filthy kiss that leaves Tyler racing to catch his breath. Jamie climbs off of him, grinning lopsidedly. Tyler wants him to look like this, sweaty and must forever. He slides off the couch to his knees, bracketed in by Jamie's thighs. He pulls his underwear off inch by inch, pressing soft and tentative kisses on the sensitive skin below Jamie's belly button, the crease of his hip. He scrapes his teeth down Jamie's inner thigh before nuzzling at the base of his dick, running the point of his tongue up the underside of it. Jamie is breathing heavily. Tyler doubts he's blinked since he went to his knees. Tyler mouths at the head of Jamie's dick and feels the muscles in his thighs clench. Jamie's hands are in fists at his side. You can touch me if you want, Tyler says quietly, words ghosting over Jamie's dick and making it jump. Jamie's hands are on Tyler's head in a second, cradling the base of his skull gently. Tyler swallows Jamie down in one long slide, and Jamie's hands tighten in his hair, tugging just this side of painfully. Tyler isn't good at a lot of things that aren't scoring goals, but he is good at giving head, and he shows Jamie just how good he is, hollowing his cheeks and humming, pressing the flat of his tongue against the vein on the underside until there are curses and nonsense words falling from Jamie's lips, his head thrown back against the couch. He comes without warning, and Tyler swallows as much as he can, lets some escape from the corner of his mouth. Jamie untangles his hands from Tyler's hair and presses his thumb to where his cum is smeared on Tyler's face, slipping it past swollen lips. Tyler pokes his tongue out to lick at it, grinning. His throat is sore, and he knows when he speaks it'll be hoarse and rough, and he rises up off his knees and tumbles himself into Jamie's lap, kisses him messy and happy, feels Jamie smile into the kiss. Don't go home tonight, Tyler says into Jamie's mouth. Jamie pulls back just enough to look Tyler in the eye. Okay, he says. Okay, Tyler. They fall asleep in Tyler's bed, naked and rumpled and sweat damp. Jamie curls his big body around Tyler and kisses the nape of his neck until Tyler's spine feels like water and it makes him feel small, makes him feel wanted. They fall asleep with their hands laced together. Jordy laughs at them when they turn up at the Ben's place for breakfast after showering. Jamie's wearing an old hoodie of Tyler's from Beale, stretched out and worn thin, and Jordy takes one look at it, stretched tight across Jamie's chest and shoulders, and the red marks covering Tyler from collarbone to chin, and just says that he doesn't want to know, slides them a mug of coffee each, and proceeds to chirp them lightly for how unsubtle they were. Tyler eats his eggs and lets it wash all over him. Jamie's bare foot is hooked over his ankle, running up and down the back of his calf lightly. Tyler could sit here forever. They take it to 7 games, but they beat the Blues. Jamie scores the game winner for Game 7 in overtime, and Tyler isn't even on the ice. He sat in the penalty box, but Jamie comes straight for him anyway, meeting him just at the door and wrapping his arms around him. They go crashing to the ice, and Val and Jordy fling themselves on top too. Everyone is yelling, and the stands are full of Victory Green jerseys, and Tyler remembers this feeling, and it's fucking amazing to be sharing it with Jamie. That night, Jordy is extra subtle and accommodating, in that he takes Marshall back to his place and leaves Jamie and Tyler in Tyler's apartment, sprawled over each other on the sofa. They're bone-tired, exhaustion setting deep into their muscles, and they know they have 3 days before they have to do it all over again. Jamie's still smiling, still on a high from the game, and Tyler loves him so much that he just has to lean over and kiss him, slow, languid, like they have all the time in the world. Jamie sinks into the kiss, slots his hands onto Tyler's hips, and tilts his head forward, pushing Tyler off balance just enough so that he has to cling to Jamie, pressing their lips together hard. Jamie grins into the kiss and leans more, pushes Tyler backward until he's spread out on the sofa with Jamie crawling over him. They make out like teenagers for a while, lazy, trading off soft kisses while Tyler traces patterns on Jamie's ribs with his fingertips until Jamie pulls off, mouth hovering millimeters above Tyler's. Let's go to your room. He breathes. Tyler shivers. Jamie's fingers are blunt and cold with lube. Tyler breathes, shallow. His hands are in Jamie's hair as Jamie pushes into him. He presses an open-mouthed kiss to the underside of Tyler's wrist when he's bottomed out. They stay, paused. Jamie is watching him. His eyes are soft but dark, like he's holding back. Tyler tugs at the long strands of hair, exposing Jamie's throat. Fuck me, Jamie, Tyler says. His voice is raw, cracking. I'm not going to break. Fuck me. Jamie does. He leans back, readjusts his hips, and puts the palm of his hand flat on Tyler's breastbone. The edge of his thumb brushes the tattoo on his ribs, and he traces along it. Gonna add another date to this soon, he says, voice low. Tyler swallows and nods. He draws his hands down over Tyler's abs, fingernails blunt against the skin, until his thumb is buried into the crease of Tyler's hip, pushing down hard enough to bruise. Tyler hisses, and his dick twitches. Something in Jamie's expression goes slack. You like that? He asks. Tyler nods, not trusting himself to speak. He's biting his lower lip hard enough to leave indents in it. Jamie licks his lips and starts moving, pulls almost all the way out before slamming back in. Tyler shouts like it's been punched out of him, and his back arches, eyes shut tight. He can only imagine what he looks like, spread out on the bed like this, Jamie everywhere at once. Jamie's rhythm is stuttering, never really smooth enough to settle into anything, but it does things to Tyler anyway, makes his hands fist in the sheets and his hips roll. Jamie's hair is falling over his face, and Tyler can't take his eyes off of him. Jamie looks up at him just as he thrusts in again, and Tyler comes as soon as their eyes meet, throwing his head back and moaning low and long, shuddering through his orgasm. Jamie follows him, coming with a slow exhale of breath that deflates him completely until he's lying boneless on Tyler's chest. Tyler just breathes, feels the sweat and cum cool on his skin. Jamie kisses his collarbone before sitting back up and pulling out, rubbing a gentle hand over Tyler's ribs when he winces at the sudden emptiness.
Oh, fuck,
Tyler says eventually. Jamie laughs, a little huff of air.
Yeah.
They lose to the Avs in 5, and Tyler feels hollow. Jamie looks worse, empty and slumped, and like he was carrying the entire weight of the team on his back. Tyler reaches for him and stops 3 times, remembering where they are each time. In the locker room, everyone is silent. Jamie talks to the media, quiet and subdued, and Tyler just wants to hold him until he doesn't look so lost. The car ride home is silent, too. Jordy turns the radio off as soon as he climbs into the driver's seat. Tyler wants to say something, wants to talk about how it gets worse the closer you get, that standing in your locker room when you know the other team is on the ice hoisting the cup feels like being dropped from a plane without a parachute, but he just curls into himself in the back seat and says nothing. The scenery passes in a blur, blue sky bright and cloudless. Dallas is getting ready for summer. In 1 month and 23 days, it will be the anniversary of Tyler's trade. They arrive at the apartment building, and Jordy doesn't wait for them. Tyler lets him leave silently. Jamie is opening the door to his apartment when Tyler grabs him by the wrist. Neither of them have said a word since leaving the ice at the AAC. "Don't," Jamie says, and Tyler's heart breaks. Jamie sounds like Tyler felt when he got off the phone after learning about his trade, like the rug's been ripped out from under him. "Just don't tell me you're sorry." Tyler pulls him into a hug, buries his nose in Jamie's collarbone. Jamie hugs back like he's drowning. "I'm glad I came to Dallas." Tyler doesn't mean to say it, but he's glad he does. Something breaks in Jamie, and suddenly he's holding himself up again. He looks at Tyler, and his eyelashes are wet and clumped together. When he smiles, it's genuine. "Yeah?" he says.
"Yeah,"
Tyler repeats. "Dallas is glad you came too," Jamie says. Tyler shoves at him, calls him a loser, kisses him, soft and chaste. Jordy looks over from the couch and complains loudly about PDA. Jamie laughs and grabs Tyler's ass. They both have to duck the cushion Jordy throws. They're still heavy with the loss, but as Jamie dives on top of Tyler, mashing his face into the leather of the couch, Tyler stands in the doorway and knows that they're going to pick themselves up, and next year is going to be their year. You've been listening to We're Gonna Rattle This Ghost Town. If you enjoyed the story, please leave Taves as a comment or kudos on AO3. If you enjoyed my podfic, please leave me, Breeze Koo, comments or kudos on AO3. I hope you enjoyed the story.